Yeah, I would agree that I never, competition doesn't even cross my mind like a
No,
tiny
because
bit.
Rachel's good at everything. Rachel's just good at everything.
I'm really not, but
Okay.
until someone comes at me with that energy, because it has happened. I remember this happening in high school where there was this girl where she was like, I was good at school, whatever, I got good grades. She was always trying to figure out what I got because she was like, what grade I got. She was always trying to beat me. And I was like, what the
Ew,
heck?
I hate
And so
that.
it was really
Rachel
gross.
is a mirror. So Rachel's mirroring the ego. So that Rachel is in that person's life, and that's what that person's going to do with her
No,
energy.
I will agree. I don't like don't that turns it's so tacky. Like, let me join the game and beat you, but don't come at me with you thinking that you're going to compete with me.
Practical conversations about real life experiences with human design woven throughout, just like a tapestry of our human experience, but threaded in a new language. Featuring projector AC Brown, generator Rachel Lieberman, manifesting generator Jasmine Kenna, and me, your manifester, Vanessa Henry.
You, me,
we're in this together.
Let's listen to each other.
You're listening to Each Other, a human design centered podcast featuring an ensemble of energy types.
We're talking about one of my favorite subjects today, the ego, says the ego manifester. She loves it. Love this subject. And I want to tell you, there's a pattern I've been seeing among people that I have been hanging out with, chatting with, working with, I'm around. And I kind of alluded to it in our last episode, in the reality creation episode, but it's this concept of ego protection. And I feel like when I hear about the ego, what comes to mind right away, at least for me, when I first came into my human design experiment and learned I was an ego manifester, this means an excess of confidence and being egotistical. And, you know, it's like a big ego. You're so arrogant. I'm in this little phase of whatever parts of myself make me kind of cringe sometimes, I'm just fully embracing them and then leading with them. You know, like I'm basic, I'm a romantic. Having a big ego is one of them. You know, oh, Vanessa's a big ego. I want to claim that, but I also want to redefine, you know, what the description then of ego would be. And one thing that I am seeing a lot is the ego is this part of us that really loves us. And if we think about like before the mutation happened where the G center and heart were separated, this is one thing. And then one, they separated and the G center became like love, purpose, direction. And then the ego kind of became protection, my values, self-respect. You know, they were once the same thing, but then they've separated. And I feel like I see all these examples of people who have these experiences they want to go into, but their ego is holding them back. Because it wants to protect them. It wants to keep you safe. It doesn't want you to go rehash that experience. You've had an experience like that before and it deeply hurt you. And you don't want to go and be in that again. And it starts to hold you back in that it's wanting to keep you safe. But it becomes this like cage that you can't keep expanding into where you want to go because you've got this armor kind of this locking you in place, the stone heart, you know? And only when we actually move past that and kind of say to ourselves, like, okay, I see that you're wanting to keep me safe. Yes, that happened before. Yes, that was awful, but you're not serving us anymore. You know, now it's limiting us. Now we're wanting to go over there and experience this, but because we're holding on to these beliefs and this structure, we can't even go have those experiences anymore. So ego death becomes this deeply loving thing, not to like berate yourself and give you a reality check, but it becomes this like, we're safe. We've learned that we can keep going. We can move beyond this. You can outgrow this. You know, it becomes now you're self-encouraging and kind of massaging that muscle to continue forward rather than just staying where you are because it's safe. And if you take these risks, you might get hurt. We don't want to get hurt because then they're going to make fun of us and they're going to ridicule us and we're going to, heaven forbid. And I actually think like the ego experience doesn't need to be so much about vanity and arrogance, but about self-protection and recognizing that And then think about how that extent, like Jasmine, I can even see this in you. Like if you start to come fuck with my people and they're threatened, their protection is threatened. Like I'm on the play. I'm ready to fight you. You know, don't come for my people. But it's easier to do that for others and not always easy to do that for yourself, you know, to stand up and kind of protect yourself. So thanks for indulging me while I go on this wild ego ride. What are some of our experiences then with ego death in our life? And, you know, having those reality checks where we needed to, or having these moments where we realized our ego was imprisoning us and preventing us from kind of going where we want to go. AC, you're kind of nodding over there.
No, just the last part that you said, that the ego is preventing from where I want to go, I would say.
AC and Rachel, undefined hearts. Jasmine and I have defined hearts. So there's going to be a really dramatic different perspective here on the ego experience.
Huge difference. Huge difference, but also, which is interesting. And I always kind of go back and forth with what is it in my charts, both astrological and human design, because when we talk about the will of the ego, I'm always very so fascinated at people with, you know, defined ego centers who do have the will, but I have the will too. It just activates slower, if you want to say, meaning that, you know, my friends and I and people who know me I always joke, like, if I say I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. It might not be today, might not be tomorrow, but it's going to happen. That's how my life has been. Even with, like, I mean, my book deal, I was writing in my journal, you know, and going down to the HarperCollins building when I was like 16, 17, like, I'm going to have a book on HarperCollins or Simon and Schuster. And here it is years later, I have a book deal with Harper One.
Your own timing.
It's right. The own timing thing. And I know Rachel talks about the 15-5 line. I have five. Mm-hmm. It's interesting. I have such a love-hate relationship with time. And I think that coincides as well with my ego, because my ego can want stuff. And, you know, I've talked to Vanessa and cried about things, and,
you know, I love all tears. Of those,
right. You love a tear.
You love a tear.
Cried about things and get frustrated about certain things that my ego doesn't have the ability to do. So I look to her to, like, give me that ego boost, but they're still in the back of my mind, knows that it's going to happen, or I have the will. It's just a little bit slower than someone who has a defined will center, I think.
Yeah, I definitely noticed people will, I once I started to recognize, oh, people click into me when they need to be encouraged.
Yeah.
I really just went with that. You know, if somebody needs to have that confidence in the room with them, I'll show up for you. Absolutely. Because people just, that's all they need sometimes, you know?
Yeah, that happens to me a lot too.
And you can hear it. I'm at this point where I can listen to someone talk and I can hear where they have a defined heart or not. Because you hear it come out of the cadence of the voice.
But which,
you know,
is interesting, though, because I think Rachel and I both have the ability to motivate and to inspire.
Here's what I want to say about that. Because you're talking about willingness. I think you can say the exact same thing, but just say it in a way. Like, we both want this thing to happen. Right. I'm very willing to make it happen. And you're very open to it happening.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, we're saying the same thing, but we're approaching, you have an open heart or an undefined heart. You're very open to it happening. And I'm very willing to make it happen.
Yeah.
We're meeting it, you know, very similar way, but a different approach.
Similar, but I feel like you two have, and Rachel, correct me if I'm wrong, in the work that we do, we have the ability, just like you two do as well, to inspire, motivate, and give people will sometimes that we don't have. And then, but you two are doing it from a place of overflow.
We have consistent access to that. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like it's a very consistent place. I have tons of it for my clients, for the people that I work with, but then sometimes I got to call Vanessa to get it for myself.
Yeah. You need a big juice. Yeah. And I live in a house with three, I'm the only defined heart here. I notice things like, I mean, even just not no one will say like, oh, mom, can you come stand next to us while we do this project or whatever?
But you bring something.
They draft my energy, you know, or they'll draft my heart. You know, if I'm in the room, then everybody's like doing the thing and I leave the room and nobody's doing the thing. Like they're done. The project is over. Everybody has absconded, you know? So I definitely think that I think for me, I have to make sure, and this has like been my practice, is not to use my ego energy, like to come in and like do something when I'm not like, when I haven't been invited to do that, you know, like I don't need to like come in and fix it or make it the way I think would be right. Like I have to like let people, especially undefined hearts, like I have to get a little bit smaller if they haven't asked me, because otherwise
I don't think it's a smallness. I think it's more,
it's pretty big.
Vanessa will say, can I, but that's me and how I'm not a,
tell me what I'll do.
I'm not a person who's gonna like cry about constructive criticism. I'm not gonna like be like in a fetal position about like a ego. Right. Like that doesn't bother me. Like both of my parents are narcissists, so I got that. Checkmate. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? So
yeah,
Vanessa will ask me, can I X, Y, and Z? And I'm like, sure. And then she'll go and tell me.
I suppose that's what I do too. Like I ask, but it is, I don't like, I think when I was younger, I would like, it's like storm the castle. Like, oh, I got, you know, like here I am.
Yes. Like when I was a younger baby psychic, I'd be like, this is going to happen. You're going to break up. So just prepare yourself. And people are like, oh my God. I'm like,
I don't do that anymore. I just go, you know, I ask or I like wait until somebody asks me, because I don't want to be imposing what I think or sometimes know is the right thing on people who are not ready for that or not interested in it or whatever it is. Because you can feel like a defined heart. You can just feel that the room. Like I'm like, oh, I'm just over here not doing anything. And people are like, why are you being so bossy? I'm like,
I got a defined heart household. Okay. And in our household, it is a constant foray of chest bumping, of ego checking each other. You're a little too confident. We're going to take you down a notch. Mm-hmm. You're a little too low. What's up? You're so hot. You're the best. What are you fucking doing? Don't boost you up a little bit. Oh, your head's getting a little big. Just remember you shit yourself the other day. You know what I mean? Like,
but I like that though.
Bumping
but
you up nice. Bump is constant ego checks. Yeah. Surrounded by ego energy.
But I think that also comes with, as an undefined heart center, I feel like that also has a lot to do with the undefined heart healing. Like you have to heal that.
I would look to come at this from the perspective of profit centers. Any undefined center in your design is in theory a profit center from a human design perspective where you can exchange through it and that it can be really valuable. So if you have an undefined heart, so Rachel and AC in theory are selling those values.
Yeah.
And that sense of responsibility and that sense of accountability, I'm not really selling that. Like, you know, I'm selling fucking healing and feelings like solar plexus, spleen, G-center, your direction, your path. You know, I'm not necessarily offering you a wisdom when it comes to the way an undefined heart person is going to, you know, because they've been through some shit and they live to tell the tale, and you're going to get some value out of hearing those lessons. You're going to be able to exchange and gain, in theory, profitable energy. Don't think about it so much as like money, you know?
Yeah.
You're going to gain something that you're going to learn, this type of wisdom here. So when you're looking at it that way, like an AC being like, well, we all have access to this. It's just when it's undefined, the road to getting there might have different types of challenges while you're learning how to assess those values.
Right.
And
right.
while you're learning how to take responsibility for yourself, because you don't inherently know it. You weren't equipped.
Right.
You had to learn how to take accountability for yourself. Like this is what I think the ego is. Take accountability for your actions. Be responsible. Like take responsibility. Don't shirk responsibility. Mm-hmm. But of course, then you have to be careful that you don't take an excess amount of responsibility. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's all up to me.
Yes.
Oh,
yes. Boy. Yeah.
But that's like what my book that I'm writing is about. Thank you for saying that, because that gave me some clarity as I'm having some writer's block.
Hey, call me anytime.
With my completely open G center, it is about taking direction through what I call the canyon and dealing with these certain healing modalities. I probably don't know who I would be if I had a defined ego. It would probably
be fun.
It'd be totally different.
You'd be totally different.
It's one of the biggest things that affects people and how they move through the world. I can share.
Well, we hear it's the most distorted. We say it's the most distorted frequency on the planet, right? Sorry, Rachel, what were you going to share?
Oh, I was going to say I can share a quick story of coming to Jesus with the undefined heart. Yeah,
open heart wisdom over here. Tell us, Rachel, what did you experience?
It was fairly instantaneous and violent, I would say, the realization of that, which was essentially a lot of things were happening in my life. It was work. It was also, my husband, Alan, he and I were connected as this. We had a very deep spiritual connection, but life was not bringing us together yet. There were just a lot of things that were going on in mostly his life, but also my life, where that just was not a possibility. I think what I realized was that I was operating under the assumption, which is a classic undefined heart thing, that everybody else kind of knows better than me. Like their reality sort of trumps mine. Like you were saying, Vanessa, I wasn't taking responsibility for myself. Yeah. I was handing that responsibility over to everybody else in the world.
You also will see that it's like, it's everybody else's fault. It's not my fault because I'm not taking responsibility for myself. It's everybody else's reason fault that why this is happening.
Yeah, it can look like that. It can also kind of look like, because I don't know that I like blamed other people,
but that is something that see that happen with that.
It's like you feel powerless to change an outcome.
Yeah.
Which also makes you
helplessness.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like super narcissistic. Yes. Like I think some of the most narcissistic people actually are going to be undefined and open hearts. Mm-hmm. Essentially what I realized was that I was actually the answer to solving all of these things.
Oh, me like that.
Yeah.
Not so much like in my, it was that I needed to speak up.
Yes.
It was like all these things were a mess. I have the solution in my head and I'm saying, why isn't everybody doing this? And yet I never said anything. That is like a classic undefined heart thing.
Yeah.
And as soon as I was just like, no, this, it was like it all came together. And I didn't even realize that was like a possibility to say something. It just didn't even occur to me.
Undefined throat. Also learning over there, right? Also learning. Yeah. When is time to express and bring attention to this? You know? AC2.
AC undefined throat as well.
No, she's open undefined throat.
Oh wow.
Yeah. So both of you. Quite a combo. Of you, yeah. Both of you. It's like, for example, Rachel, I'm not speaking up on this. And like I could just say something and change everything. But also there's a nuance there of you're learning even how to do that. So yeah, big challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Huge challenge, actually, if you really think about it, you know, totally open heart, holding all these values, seeing all these things, learning, reflecting the environment, what's going on here, and has to somehow find the courage to speak up when that's not always natural and easy. Yeah, that's hard.
Yeah, it was like an ego death in a night. Like I stayed up all night, like writhing.
It's the literally worst feeling.
And then I had to like go to work the next day and I was like, all right, well, I guess we're gonna be speaking.
I'm gonna speak up.
Yeah.
I don't really know. I mean, I probably had a million ego deaths, but the one that continues to haunt me is then this last relationship that's been ongoing, the relationship to end all relationships.
There's a lesson what I in realized, there. Hey, sorry, I'm sorry to be who I am sometimes, but like you're learning something there. Hey,
oh yeah.
This person keeps bringing you back, keep teaching this lesson. You're like, when am I going to choose
fourth line things? No, this is why, Vanessa, this is why I am in therapy. I'm not going to be, I will learn my lessons from my therapist. I will not be learning them from that relationship. That relationship is buttoned.
Love that.
Over there.
Good for you. Exciting.
Buried in the dirt.
But also thank you. I'm bowing to you, past relationship. Thank you for these teachings. I'm going to learn.
I'm just
some
definitely
shit.
Not doing that yet. I'm not doing that yet, but like maybe in like 2 to 5 years from now, like I feel like I'll get there. Cause I'm not like a grudge holder, but not yet. But what I realized is one of the reasons I was hanging on to it for dear life was my ego. Uh-huh. And I wrote this, but then I didn't read it till months later when I was already in therapy. But Jasmine, you are not, your heart is not broken. Your ego and pride is hurt.
There's a protection. Yeah.
I didn't win. I didn't get it. I didn't do the thing, you know, and I wanted to, it was like, I'm like, I want to have this relationship be successful. I put all of my energy into it. I put all of my heart into it. I did everything right. Like there's no reason that this shouldn't, like everything should match up. Like I checked the scores. I win gold medal. narrator. She did not get a gold medal. You know, like it did not happen. Mm-hmm. And that, like, when I went back and read that months later, I was like, oh, and it helped me just change my frame of mind and be like, dude, you're not like this hurt little bird that's like weak and you've been humiliated and you've been victimized and all these things. Like, you fought the good fight. You tried your best. You gave it your all and you lost. One thing about having, at least for me, about having a defined heart is I have to accept that loss and I have to like have honor around that loss. Like, I have to like make it like I accept it and I go like it's grace that I have to have grace around it, because otherwise, I mean, I'll fight to the death for something.
Well, this is like when I was saying too, like, I see myself as a sick person, you know, it's like, wait, I'm not sick.
Yeah.
And this is so beautiful, Jasmine, your acceptance sense, your motivation sense is acceptance. And so, yeah, that's how you really come to understand the world, when just like, I did that, I gave it my all. And it failed. And now I've got to accept that, you know,
I have to accept it. And I also have to accept that it doesn't mean
I'm a failure,
anything about me.
Exactly.
It doesn't mean I'm a failure. Yeah. Like, I'm still like out here. I can still like fight the good fight. I can do something else, but I have to turn my focus. Like, I have to like stop doing this thing where I'm like, why didn't it? If I could just fit it into this thing, it would be perfect. I mean, I realized by the end of it, I'm like, I don't even necessarily like this relationship or like this person, but I don't want to fail at this.
Ooh, yeah.
And I don't, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to be like, oh, you really messed that up. I was like, I'm in it for the long haul. So I'm glad I'm not doing that anymore. And I'm glad I let my ego take a little break, my little heart.
I want to expand on that, Jasmine, because the way undefined hearts and open hearts make me feel is that they experience quite a bit of anguish, you know, of like maybe not getting their wants and desires met in their life. And it really causes a lot of suffering. This is our challenge. So they make me feel from the perspective of the defined heart. When I decide I want something and I make that promise to myself. Yeah.
Yeah.
If I don't experience that and don't get that, there is a really intense heartbreak.
Heartbreak.
I've made that promise. The heart is defined. It's full. And if I am not, if it doesn't come to be and I cannot will it to be for whatever reason, it's a breaking. And in my experiences, like, that heartbreak frequency on a defined being is very intense. And that for me was some of my most massive burnouts. Cause it's like my whole motor broke down. I'm out of commission now, you know?
Yeah.
Heartache is real.
Speaking about what Rachel said though earlier about how undefined giving the power away.
Yeah.
It's funny that you say that, because all the defined people that I know, defined ego people, heart people that I know, they do have this willfulness to go the distance. Mm-hmm. And I believe that they have more success in certain areas versus the undefined heart. After we've given our all, I believe that we have the ability to release it quicker, because it's almost like we're subconsciously giving up our power. Like, you know what? I did all I could do.
Right.
Oh, I'm going to keep it moving now. Oof. But you, on the other hand,
harder over here. Yeah.
You're not going to do that. You're going to be like, well,
I dug in.
Oh, yeah.
Right. You're going to be like, no, let me punch down just a further bit more, just, and like
10 toes down.
Yeah. Like going against the grain a little bit. I think we, as undefined heart centers, we have the ability to give our all, like give 100%, but then also look at, we don't have the same attachment to bending the reality.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
As you do. Yeah. You want to bend the fucking reality.
Well, I want to win.
Yes.
Oh, we love to win.
But we want to win too.
It's not.
We want to win too, but we don't have the winning for us. Knows it's that there's different. Other factors in play. Yeah. You guys don't look
we
at the
get
other
off
factors.
On the competition.
There's, oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm like, I dare you. I dare you. You know what I mean? Like, I dare you. Like, cause I win.
That you don't see that there's other factors in play. Rachel and I will be like, you know what? It might be just bad timing.
Oh no, I would never say that.
The timing all are like, let's just go ahead and shoot up the building. Mm, it's okay that we couldn't get in. Mm. We're like, oh, the door was closed.
And it's
we tried, we knocked.
It's interesting too, because
let me leave.
I don't know, Vanessa, if you're like this, but for me, like, everything's not for me. the things that are for me are for me.
Oh yeah.
And
they're mine.
I'm not like that all the time. Like I'm not like wanty, like I want everything, I need to have it. But when it is and it's lined up and I have made the choice, I have said, oh, that's, I'm doing that, I'm having that. There's never been a time in my life when I thought, I can't probably do that. I probably can't have that. I probably can't figure that out. I'm like, all systems go. Boom. That's my shit. Same. Tomorrow. Like I'm doing it.
Like if I wanted to get myself on the moon,
no doubt.
I want to walk on the moon. I can do it. I will find a way.
That's how I feel.
Rachel and I are like going to NASA applying.
Yeah, I'm not.
And like, you know, doing the things to like get on, you know, the list. And they're like, oh, well, you can't because you have curly hair. And Rachel's like, okay, fine. I get it.
Bye.
I'm straightening my hair.
I'm like, what hair? I don't even have hair.
Yeah. I'm just like, or they say like, oh, you need to take out your contacts. And I'm just like, well, maybe I don't want to wear my glasses. And they're just like, we're just like, okay, I guess it's not happening.
I agree. I think a wisdom of the undefined heart that I've definitely seen develop for me is I'm good at, like, when I assess a situation, I'm good at now, after a lot of practice, figuring out what I'm willing to give.
Yes.
And then once I've given that, it's like, well, now it's out of my hands. And it is very easy to release.
It is out of my control. I've given all... I've said that to my therapist several times. I've done all that I can do. It is out of my control.
I have never said that in my life.
Yeah.
Yeah, me neither.
Which is crazy.
I mean, but I love how it sounds. Like, I love people say it's like, I wash my hands of this. It's out of my control.
I know. And I'm like, I wash my hands of it.
Try again.
But also, though, the reason for that is the energy. And correct me if I'm wrong, Rachel. I feel like we experience a different energy in putting in the effort in there. It takes us, like, I'm literally giving my
all. Yeah, I don't have all. It. I don't got the will for it.
I'm literally giving my all to this person, to this project, to this thing. So I have to tap out after I've given my all. Like, I'm not going to walk away. I'm going to, anytime I've walked away or just stopped entertaining a situation, a friendship, romance, I've literally given my all at that point. And then I'm like, okay, that's a sign. I gotta go.
It's not worth it.
There's nothing more that I can do. Yeah.
Now, I get that. And that can happen to me if my energy is no longer there.
Oh yeah. We can cut it off like this.
But that takes longer. It takes longer to get through.
Yeah. Well, it depends. Sometimes I'm like, oh, you turned me off, or this scene turns me off. And like, once my will is not there anymore, like once that goes, I'm like, oh, I don't even know. I don't care about you.
Right. But if it gets to the point where I've deflated myself, I've deflated myself or I've been deflated in some way, it's going to take me an immense amount of time to recover. However, if I'm still empowered and I have not yet experienced some kind of deflation, I can have a brutal quality to me.
Me
where
too.
The ego is then like, nope. Poof, you know?
Yeah.
And it's because it's about protection. It's like, nope, that's not for me. And it kind of closes things off. But Jasmine, like, one of the most delightful things is to like, we're playing a sport. Doesn't matter the sport.
Okay.
And everybody there wants to play and wants to compete. You have a blast. Like, yeah, let's go. You're all better, right? But when you get on the field and there's someone there who's like not playing by the rules or not really trying, fuck, this pisses me off. You're not even trying.
So mad.
What's the effort? Like, oh, it just makes me like get revved up.
And like, I don't think I'm a bully though. I mean, my people, I don't know. My kids might sometimes like they joke with me about like being a little bit of a bully, but I am, I think, definitely chest bumpy. Like I'm like, I like that vibe. Like I like to be like playing hard and working hard.
You're a defined hearted 2-4-MG. You're chest bumpy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd say
I'm chest bumpy. Yeah. Yeah. And I like it's good for me to go with that setup. Working out is like the best thing I can do to like keep me out of like I'm not like an antagonizer, you know, like I'm not like a poker, like, cause I'm like, oh, I'm like a little golden doodle. All my energy is like, oh, you're good. You know, you worked hard. Sacral's fine. Heart's fine. Brain's like not going crazy.
The sacral does add a cool element because when Rachel was talking about, you know, some defined heart, maybe it was ace, I don't even know. And how like they want to commit or they want to, you know, I don't know what that is. I don't know what that is, but I was thinking about my own family. Like Derek and I can both get very willful, like very like wanting something. But where it starts to change is I can check out more easily, you know, or he's got to go the distance and complete the thing. I'm like, there's this fucking sick girl getting in. And I'm like, this is where we really parent differently. You know, he really wants to see certain things through, wants to reach the completion, wants to have that satisfaction. And I'm like, this is a waste of energy. I don't have that additional sick girl to push me over the edge. Like, where go there with you. My heart's not in it. My heart's not in it anymore. And I will say that. And so then it kind of like clears the air because he and I are the same there. You know, we have that same drive. The ego is a real drive, but I will bottom out and he won't because he's got another motor, you know, to kind of carry him out and carry these things on. So like there's this drive there, but it's not always like, I don't have the drive to complete things or carry things out. That was the language, drive to carry it out. Like, I'm like, no, I've got the drive to initiate, you know, so it does really to get this started. So someone else together, can carry it. So someone else can carry it out. Yeah. And that just happens to be where my drive comes from is the ego.
Well, I have a question for the open hearts, undefined hearts. Do you guys ever find yourself with defined hearted people feeling competitive?
I'm competitive in nature. Like I like to compete, but I am subtle about it. Like I will like hide that I'm good at something and then beat you.
Fun. I love that. I love that. Love that. I love that sleeper power. Nobody knows it's about me. I'm
a sleeper. Yeah. Like I'm a sleeper. Like I'd rather, like there's people who my editor, we were talking and I was like, oh my gosh. Yeah. I was watching this thing and it was golf. She was like, you like golf? And I, you know, like kind of smirked. Like I love golf. Like there's so many things that a lot of people don't. I love golf. I grew up, my dad played chess every day with his friends. Like I know how to do a lot of things that I don't talk about, but put me in the room, I'm going to beat you.
Oh, this is, look, I hate golf and I hate that I'm a total natural at it.
Yeah, I love
great
golf.
Form, perfect swing. I'm like, this is so boring. I don't want to do this. And Derek's like, please. My parents were avid golfers. I'm surrounded by a golf environment. I'm like, this is so much pressure. I hate this. Like people are waiting for me to golf. I hate it. I don't want to golf. No.
Like I can play, I play really good pool.
Oh, that's like, sexy.
Yeah, I'm that a really sexy. Good pool player.
I like, don't do any of that.
But that's from, like, yeah, I learned from my uncle.
Ace is just this little nugget in real life. And she just got all those secret little skill sets. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. Like I won't say anything. I'll just beat you.
Love yeah. Husband. I would agree that competition doesn't even cross my mind like a tiny bit. No, because
Rachel's good at everything. Rachel's just good at everything.
I'm really not. But okay. Until someone comes at me with that energy, because it has happened. Mm-hmm. I remember this happening in high school where there was this girl where she was like, I was good at school, whatever, I got good grades. She was always trying to figure out what I got because she was like, what grade I got? She was always trying to beat me. And I was like, what the heck?
I hate and that.
So it was really gross.
Rachel is a mirror. So Rachel's mirroring the ego. So that Rachel is in that person's life and that's what that person's going to do with her energy.
No, I will agree. I don't that turns, it's so tacky. Like, let me join the game and beat you. But don't come at me with you thinking that you're going to compete with me.
It was never fun. But then I was kind of like, well, if you're going to come at me with that energy, like, let's compete and I will win. Fine. But then as soon as they're away, I'm just 110%. Like, I don't even care.
Yeah. Like, I mean, Vanessa knows I play golf now, right? Good but if she that. Came That's to great. Me, right? And is like trying to beat me, that, okay, here you go with the the deflation
projector.
I'm not be interested
now. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm not even going to be interested in playing. I'm like, really? That's what she thinks? She wants to beat me?
See, like, ooh. I'll let someone beat me. Ooh. I will. Like, if I don't, like, I, like, if I think that they
doesn't, you don't care about it.
I don't care about
cares
it.
Cares or doesn't care. Yeah.
And I don't care. Like, if it's no big deal to me and it is a big deal to someone else, I'll be like,
I'll let them have it. Oh, yeah.
I'll never say I let them win. I will never. Mm-hmm. I will never say that. Mm-hmm. I will never say I let you win. But I mean, I will.
Internally, I'm like, go ahead. You can have it. Go on if you want to be Tiger Woods today. Great.
Yeah. Because sometimes some people are so competitive, you can't like get into shit with them. Like,
well, I mean, that, you gotta just ego check them though. You gotta give them a little.
Yeah, it's like annoying. Yeah.
You know, just settle down. No. It's not that serious. Like, just a little tiny pipe down. You know, pipe down.
Yeah.
But like a kind of a way I could easily be manipulated and wielded. Like, if somebody wanted to really play me and get a rise out of me, it would be to like put me in my field and try and compete with me. Mm. You know, because then I'm like, you want to compete? You want to go? I'm going to fucking shine. Let's go. You're giving me an opportunity to be my best self. I love you for that. I'm going to put you out of your misery. You know what I mean? Like, like, you're going to do it. I'm ready to go. Like, I could be really wielded. Like, if somebody came and kind of challenged me,
I wish I had that motivation that I don't have.
The thing is, if I don't care,
it doesn't work.
Yeah. I don't care.
Yeah.
You know,
but even if I care, I just don't have it in me. I'm like, I'm going to do what's the best that I can with what I got. And that's that.
I find, like, by nature, I typically care a lot. Like, if I care for someone, my heart's in it, you know, and I, you know, but I do have this aspect to my character where I can be careless, in my behavior because I'm just not maybe aware or I'm being a bit reckless. For example, like, I can be careless with money sometimes because I'm also like, I can always make more and I know how to make more and I know exactly right. What to do. I'm acting in a way that I'm not being responsible, you know, and I'm just like, I don't care. I don't want to look at it. And there's that ego coming in to protect me again a little bit. Like, I don't care. I can always make more, whatever. It's like, yeah, but when are you going to learn that maybe you don't have to do that? You don't have to be careless. So I think when it comes back down to it, I have to embrace, like, I care a lot, actually. And there are certain things that are worth caring a lot about and certain things that aren't worth caring a lot about. And am I able to deduce between what those are for myself?
Yeah.
What are some final words of wisdom from the open heart, the Rachel Lieberman of Pure Generators?
I mean, I think that for me, this kind of sums up life and all people, which is like every one of us is incredibly important and unique, and yet no one is.
Totally.
You know, that's been my biggest.
Spoken like a true vessel of love. Learning. You know, you're all special and none of y'all are special.
Yeah, right. But they're both true. I don't know. It's crazy how that is. But
well, you start to learn in human design, every single person is unique. And so really in that uniqueness, you lose the specialness because every single person is special. So then none of y'all are special. You know,
not right.
To, but I don't like that discouraging undertone. That's not very heart-led manifester. We don't love that, you know, but I think with like ego being, there's the most distortion on the planet of the ego. For me, that can be intimidating. Like when I hear that, it makes me feel like, oh God, what am I doing wrong? And what am I contributing to? That's wrong. But I also then started to live into, okay,
that's
well,
very ego of you too.
Very ego.
What am I doing wrong?
Well, it's narcissistic, right? You make it think it's all you and it's all, you know.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But what if I chose to be the example of what it felt to be a big ego, but I got to define what that meant? And what if it meant I took immense accountability for myself? I took responsibility for myself. Mm-hmm. I was compassionate. And you were an example of that instead of this other example available that's like, you're egotistical, you're too confident, you're, you know, what we think that word means. I wanted an opportunity to kind of redefine it because if we know there's so much distorted frequency of the ego on the planet, well then like, what do we do with that?
Mm-hmm.
It can make you afraid to kind of do anything. So then for me, as somebody who, you know, I get often asked like, oh, the ego it's the most twisted frequency where all the distortion is on the planet. How does that feel as an ego manifester? Feels intimidating.
Oh, yeah.
Feels like, oh God, okay. Like, don't look at me. Hermit. You know, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I just find that in this field that we're in, I notice people will look to me for that simply because like I will lead with, hi, I'm the 6'2" ego manifester. Cause I want to introduce my energy. And even that is egotistical, but I want to introduce my energy because I want to inform you on what I'm going to be like. And if you speak that language, you're going to know what that means before I even say anything else. So you're going to give me a different type of grace so that I can kind of prime the field for prime the field with the type of heart I need in the field.
So that's so interesting that you feel like you have to prime the field to do that. Like I don't ever
I have to inform.
Inform. Okay. I don't ever.
Because when I inform Jasmine, I'm disarming the field.
Yeah.
If I just show up without informing, it can go awry for me.
Yeah, I guess in the human design world, you're like the ultimate baddie.
No. The pressure you just gave me there. I'm like,
I'm just saying like, you're like, oh, you're like, you know, ego-driven manifestor. Manifestors get a bad rap.
Yes, we do.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I don't know why.
Well, it's not even like, let's say you're in a relationship and one of you is a manifestor and one of you is a generator. Let's say you're 2 6-2s. One's a manifestor, one's a generator. If there's something going on in that life and the people don't like, the manifestor is going to take the rap for that, not the generator.
Mm-hmm.
It's her fault that they're like that. Like it's just something that happens. Look at our episode on HD Dogma in season 3. This, you know, we're going to get into that when we go into our future conversations, but I was the one singled out and positioned as facilitating this environment where we were going to be bullies.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what happened? No, but it was.
No, but I was the bully.
But do you see how the manifesto though is just used as the example and the tool or whatever? And I think we can kind of all see through that.
Well, I think everyone
thinks
you're the leader always too.
And that's just because you're the way the voice comes in and sets things up.
Yeah.
But it's just energetics. Mm-hmm. It's just energetics.
Yeah.
Do you know two of my major relationships were manifestor men?
I mean, I love that for you.
My first was a manifestor. And then another one was a manifestor, and that wasn't. Yeah.
Were they ego manifestors?
I think my first was, and he was a Gemini.
Mm. Fun.
I was in high school, so.
Yeah. And Jasmine Cannon wants to date a manifestor?
I said it, but then I recant because I don't think.
Yeah.
I got to date a sacral because I'm like, yeah. I like to be on a schedule of getting busy.
I definitely want
I love a sacral
partner long term marriage with a sacral, but I don't know which one now. I'm very confused.
I mean, you're open. She's not open. She's grimacing. She's not open.
No, I think I don't know what the whole, I mean, 6-2s and 3-5s are great.
Yeah, I like those.
Harmonious, like those. As they say, but my track record with 6-2s has not been awesome the last 6, 7, 8 months. So it's just like.
Really sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
Really sorry for that reflection, hearing that for my character.
Yeah. So I was like, what should, but it's unhealed 6-2s. So. I'll say that.
I mean, there are 3-2s at some point, right?
Yeah.
I would only date a one that was already on the, like off the roof.
Yeah.
Hey,
at this point,
I'm married. And let me tell you, I love being married, but I would date anyone. I would date anyone. No matter who comes before me, it's like, well, I wonder what you're going to be. Like, I'm not
going to wonder.
Like, ooh, you're a 1-3. Fun. Ooh, you're a projector.
Yeah.
That's because you're like in a happy little clam relationship. That's why you feel that way. You're like, everyone is lovely.
5-1, no.
I'm here to tell you they're not.
AC listing through. 5-1, no. 5-1. 2-4, no. 6-2.
No, 4-6, I would give a definite try.
So
I wonder what that experience would be like.
AC, in the spirit of ego protection, you're dating, you meet someone, you have a connection, you run their chart. Is there any way their chart could pop up and you're like, hell no? But everything's good. Evan, you're like, I love everything. But then you see the chart and you're
like triple Scorpio.
I'm out of there.
Only if, oh my God, don't even, Jasmine, that is fuck. probably only way, if it was a projector, no, I wouldn't date them. Only if they are already like deep into their career. If they don't have a career for themselves, like, I mean, like they've been doing their career for over 10 years, I wouldn't.
The only one I would be intimidated to date would be the reflector. I'd be like, I have no idea what to expect.
Oh, that's like, I think that'd be great.
But like, also that's so exciting.
So fun. Yeah.
But a man projector who is not successful in his career. No.
Just in case we may have lost our way here. We're talking about the heart. I mean, no, these are matters of the heart. You know, these are matters of the heart. Absolutely matters of the heart. I like when we end on the vessel of love, though. You know, I like when Rachel's like, y'all are fools. Let me tell you what matters and give you the most loving retort on this. Rachel, what do we need to remember about the ego?
That everyone does have power. It just may not be quite as much as you think you do if it's defined, or quite as little as you think you do if it's undefined. It's usually somewhere in the middle.
You, me,
we're in this together.
Let's listen to each other. You're listening to Each Other, a human design-centered podcast featuring an ensemble of energy types.
This was a 6-2 Studio production. Find us at SIX-TWO.studio for all your creative sound needs.